Welcome back to Gulf Coast Live. I'm Mike Canary. Summertime is here, and for many families, that means time at the pool or at the beach. But it also means an increased risk for drowning. About 1,000 kids die each year in the U.S. from drowning, and another 7,000 go to the emergency room because of non-fatal drowning events. And while pool safety for little kids often gets the most attention, statistically speaking, it's far more likely for a kid to die from drowning in open waters, like at the beach or on a lake or in a river. And it's actually teenage boys who are most likely to drown this way. For the rest of the hour, we're revisiting a conversation we had last summer with Sally Crusher. She's a child advocate with Lee Health and a local Safe Kids coordinator. She sat down with Julie Glenn to pass along some drowning prevention tips. Let's hear that now.
So, Sally, welcome to Gulf Coast Live. It's great to see you again.
Thank you for having me.
If you'd like to join our conversation about drowning prevention, you can always give us a call at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media. And on Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag GCO. So first, tell me what a Safe Kids coordinator is.
So my role with Safe Kids is really to prevent unintentional injuries in kids 19 and under.
Okay, because last time you were here, we were talking about hot cars.
Correct.
And trying to keep kids, not forget your kids in the car.
Correct.
Obviously. And summer's also a tough time for that, but here it's a year-round issue.
You know, it's Florida, it's hot. We go swimming, we leave kids in hot cars, and unfortunately, deaths can happen really quickly.
Yeah. So I wanted to ask, as far as drowning is concerned, do you know about how many kids in Lee County, or what kind of numbers do you have as far as what we're looking at here, at least from Lee Health?
So from Lee Health, we see about roughly 5 non-fatal children every month and 1 death approximately to every 5 kids we see.
Wow. So that's a lot. But it surprises me that there are that many kids that are non-fatal. How do you not die from a drowning? I thought drowning kind of always meant that somebody...
So there's fatal drowning, which is a child that does die. Then we have non-fatal drowning, which is a child that might have a traumatic brain injury or a lifelong injury from the accident. And then, you know, sometimes some childs, you know, go underwater and might be perfectly, you know, returned to that normal child that they were before the accident.
Maybe ended I think it's an amount of moments without oxygen to the brain is the critical
Correct.
Factor there. So the information that we got from you really focuses on the risks associated with open waters as opposed to pools, which is where we've usually focused our attentions, especially on this show. Can you flesh out for us about what are the risks when it comes to open water?
So with open water, you know, here in Southwest Florida, we have pools everywhere and, you know, but we also have boats and we have waters and we have retention ponds and we have man-made lakes. And so, you know, the dangers could be lurking everywhere, not just in a pool in a backyard.
Yeah. And when we did a thing about boating safety not long ago, they said that the number one cause of fatalities in boating accidents is drownings.
Yeah. And Lee County leads the nation. It's pretty scary.
So one of the things that we talked about before we came in for the show was about the availability of life jackets along beaches. A lot of times when you have a place to put in your boat, there tend to be life jackets available for people. And I've seen them lined up at certain piers sometimes along the beach.
Yeah. So here in Southwest Florida, there's many organizations like CETO or the Safe Kids Coalition or the Safe and Healthy Children's Coalition. We have life jacket loaner stands. And so you can go to a beach or you can go to a boat ramp and borrow a life jacket. Now, mind you, we want to make sure that the life jacket fits your child and we can't guarantee that, you know, that will be there. But, you know, you can borrow the life jacket and return it to the stand when you're done using it.
Yeah, it's interesting. You don't want to always, you know, just count on that being your fallback position. But if you happen to find yourself, you know, spur of the moment, I'm going to hit the beach and I don't happen to have my life jacket, there might be something there for you. But always be on the lookout for those kinds of options.
Correct.
So about 43% of kids die from drowning in open waters and about 38% in pools. So it's not really that much higher. Is that maybe more of a northern thing, or are these statistics for here or nationwide?
This is actually a brand new Safe Kids Worldwide research report. So it's a national report. But again, we do have the deaths from open water here in Southwest Florida.
And then you have riptides out in the Gulf.
And that's a lot of times kids don't know that there's a difference in swimming in pools and open water. So having that conversation with kids and talking about what to do if you get caught in the rip current.
Yeah. About 1 in 10 drowning deaths apparently occur in bathtubs.
Yeah. You know, unfortunately, it still happens and parents get busy and, you know, they might have an older child or they might, you know, get, I hate to say this, but Facebook is such a
it's so easily to be distracted.
Exactly.
I mean, even a speck on a screen when you're in your pool area and you're trying to hose down your lanai, and you're like, what is that? It takes that long to turn around and see that your kid somehow slipped into the pool. And I was telling you before we went on, that happened to me. It was 2 seconds. And I turn around and 2-year-old is right with the water and just sitting there, just
it's scary. It can happen
straight
to
as a
you,
stick, not flailing
anybody.
Around. And that's the other thing that people may not realize, too. You might think that you would hear them, that they might splash around a little bit. Tell me a little bit about what happens with this instinctive response when kids are in a drowning position.
So it doesn't happen like what we think it does, like in the movies. You know, kids, older kids, their arms go straight out and they can become tired. Younger kids become tired and they're not able to yell because they're focusing on breathing. And many times it can happen really quick and they just go under.
And little kids, they just don't even, like tiny, when you're like 4
they
and under.
They get exhausted from going up and down and they're not able to yell and scream and splash around.
And maybe not understand the mechanics of, even if you can touch the bottom, jumping up to get your head out of the water.
That's in a pool. In open water, you might not be able to touch the bottom.
Yeah. So let's take a look at the ages. 23% of drowning deaths are from 0 to 4 years old. 5 to 14-year-olds are between 13 and 15%, while 15 to 19-year-olds are almost half at 49%. That really surprised me. I thought that littler kids would be more susceptible to drowning, but it looks like the 15 to 19-year-old teenagers are the ones that are making up almost half, as I said, 49%. What's that about?
You know, a lot of times our kids are become invincible. And unfortunately, they have that I can do anything behavior. So jumping off a bridge and getting, injured or getting caught in the rip current. And a lot of times parents aren't watching those older kids.
Because they kind of assume that they're going to be okay because they had their swimming lessons earlier. And
correct.
Yeah. You might have a little bit more confidence in an older child thinking they're going to be okay. They get there and then something happens and they're not.
Exactly. You know, we expect them to go off with their friends and their friends aren't watching them as well.
Yeah. Well, and speaking of the feeling of being bulletproof when you're a teenager, the gender disparity is really big. You got 80% of drowning deaths happen to boys as opposed to girls. Is that because of that attitude of invincibility?
That's what the experts and everybody says, unfortunately. So, you know, having that conversation and teaching them and talking to them about the dangers of having that mentality.
That risky kind of behavior.
Correct.
Taking the risk or being the tough guy that can jump off the giant rock into the lake or whatever.
Correct.
Another interesting disparity in the data shows that there's a difference when it comes to ethnicity. Not to get too into the weeds with the statistics here, but for white children, about 7 per 100,000 die from drowning. For black children, about 14 per 100,000 do. And for American Indian and Alaskan Native children, it's about 17 per 100,000. Do you have any sense of what's behind those disparities? When they did these statistics, did they give any indication of why that would be?
They talked about some generational experience. So many families their parents don't know how to swim, so they don't learn how to swim. And, you know, some financial resources, not being able to obtain swimming lessons or knowing how to respond if there was a drowning.
Yeah, I remember doing stories about this before and about the affordability of getting a membership to a swimming situation, a swim club or a place where you can go. And swim lessons aren't usually free. There is a socioeconomic backdrop to that.
Yeah, I mean, there is some, and we're fortunate here in Southwest Florida that many places offer scholarships. And there are places like the Tice Pool that offer free swim lessons here in Southwest Florida. So it's just knowing those resources and knowing sometimes just asking.
It's pretty critical in the state of Florida to make sure your kids know how to swim.
Yeah. Our home, we were talking about this, our home, we want to say is safe and we can't live in our bubble. Although
yeah,
we may
not.
You
can keep an eye on your kids at your own house, but they go to their friends and they have a pool.
Exactly. Or they might, live on a canal. We have water all around us and it's so vital to have those life-saving skills.
So I want to talk about safety precautions. What do you think parents should be focusing on, whether they're at the pool, the beach, or the lake?
So one, always have active supervision on your children. So if it's a non-competent swimmer, using a U.S. Coast Guard approved life jacket and not the water blow-up wings that we call them.
Mm-hmm.
Having you know, teaching them how to swim. If they don't know how to swim, using a U.S. Coast Guard approved life jacket, and then knowing what to do in case of emergency. So learning that CPR.
It might not be a bad idea to take away the cell phone of the person that's in charge of keeping an eye on the kids.
It's important to put it down. Enjoy the moment.
Yeah, because then you want to Instagram this cute picture of your kid being cute. And
right.
Then 10 seconds later, you know?
You said it yourself. It happens so quick and you don't realize it can happen. You don't hear them. It's life-saving. Put the phone down. Have it there in case of an emergency, but don't use it while – enjoy the moment with the kids.
And I remember clearly how devastating just a close call was. You know, you just want to turn in your parenting card and say, clearly I'm not qualified. I made this huge mistake. You know, I couldn't believe that that even happened. The best parents in the world, this can happen to.
It can happen so quick.
So fast. And you don't hear anything. There's no indication. What if a parent is not a strong swimmer? They turn around and happen to see their kid. Should they try to go in after him? Or how do you handle that? How do people handle that?
So if you're at a pool, you can throw them something like a pool noodle or a towel. You know, reach, throw, don't go. If, you know, call emergency responders, yell, scream for help right away. So, you know, and again, if there's an accident, you know, try to use prevention methods like a life jacket.
What kind of resources are there out there for parents who want to learn more about beefing up their kids' ability to handle themselves around water?
So they can, again, get swimming lessons. There's plenty of locations. Our Safe Kids Coalition, they can reach out to us, or if in any other location, they can reach out to local hospitals, fire departments, and you know, learn to swim and learn how to respond.
Yeah, reach out and ask. And the Safe Kids Coalition has a website?
It's safekidsswfl.org.
And then you contact them, and then if you have any additional questions, you can get pointed in the correct in the right direction, right?
Sure. They can give me a call at 239-343-6199.
And we have links to those on our webpage at wgcnews.org. Well, that's all the time that we have, but I want to thank my guest. Sally Krusher is a local Safe Kids Coordinator and Child Advocate with Lee Health. Thanks so much for talking with me.
Thank you so much.
That is all the time we have for today's show. Thanks to our earlier guest as well, Robert Wheeler, author of Hemingway's Havana. If you missed any of today's show, you can always hear episodes in their entirety on our website, gulfcoastlive.org, or you can subscribe to our podcast feed wherever you get your podcasts. As you may know, our usual host, Julie Glenn, is on leave for health reasons, but we do want to keep Gulf Coast Live on the air 4 days a week. So starting this coming Monday, July 22nd, we will be scaling back to half-hour shows for the time being. We'll be ending the show at 1:30 and handing it off to the BBC News Hour. We do hope to be back up to full strength as soon as possible. Our show today was produced by Julie Glenn and myself. Our director is Richard Chinqui. Our social media coordinator is Tara Callaghan. Gulf Coast Live is made possible through the generous support of the Elizabeth B. McGraw Foundation. For now, thanks for listening. I'm Mike Canary. This is WGCU-FM Fort Myers 90.1, WMKO Marco Island 91.7 FM, NPR for Southwest Florida.